A world gone insane. An upside down civilization cannot be real. A world of madness and terror.
It's the Dana Gould Hour.
Trick or treat, and welcome to the second annual Halloween episode of the Dana Gould Hour. It's a great show. Unlike previous episodes, tonight's is composed of two live interviews. One with Matt Weinhold before a live audience at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. And one recorded the following week in Santa Monica, California at Podfest with Jonah Ray, April Richardson, and Hannah Ganson. You can hear Matt Weinhold's excellent new podcast, Monster Party, wherever podcasts are sold. Jonah Ray's podcast, Jonah Radio, is available for your oral receptors, and you can also see him on Comedy Central's upcoming series, The Nerd Melt. April Richardson's podcast is called Go Bayside and features a weekly deconstruction of an episode of Saved by the Bell. Make it more specific, you say? You can also see her manning the round table, which is vastly preferable to rounding the man table, on Chelsea Lately. And lastly, but not leastly, Hannah Ganson, whose album Al the Bum is available for download on iTunes and other fine stores. You can also follow her on the Twitter at Hannah Ganson, HannahGanSen. And me, you ask? I will be at one of my favorite clubs, The Laughing Skull, in Atlanta, Georgia, November 7th through the 10th. For tickets, check out the live appearances page at danagould.com. If you're not in Atlanta on November 7th, you can still see me on Showtime on your television, where my new special, I Know It's Wrong, will be debuting that very night. November 7th on Showtime. Stay tuned here at danagould.com for more info on the download and later, the CD and DVD release. Lastly, but importantly, on December 4th, please watch the premiere of Frank Darabont's Mob City on TNT, featuring, you guessed it, me. It also features many other much more famous people. So, November 7th through 10th in Atlanta, November 7th on Showtime, and December 4th on TNT. But in the meantime, as of this recording, it's still October. And that can mean only one thing. And if the music you hear by Necrotone recording artists The Evil Streaks is any hint, it's the time of year for a little fear. And, in this instance, filth. I'm not gonna lie. Thank you very much. Welcome to the very first live recording of the Dana Gould Hour. With me at the microphone is my very close friend and frequent collaborator, Matthew Weinhold.
This is the sound of my voice.
My podcast, for no good reason, is incredibly work intensive. But on the other hand, I make no money from it.
Win-win.
It's a win-win. Yeah. It's a win-win for the demon that is me with spare time. And nobody wants that because I can only beat off so much.
That's not true.
Well, before I had a podcast, my penis looked like the handlebar grip of a child's bike. So you tell me. You tell me. So this has been
We are, for those of you listening at home, this is first segment with Matthew Weinhold is being recorded in Bloomington, Indiana. At thank you very much, at the Comedy Attic.
And Hoosiers?
Yeah. It's a very fascinating week because it's two things that are going on. It's Freshman Parents Weekend.
Do tell.
It's Freshman Parents Week. And you can see it's really wonderful. It's really sweet. All the freshman kids are walking around with their parents. And the parents are all in Indiana University shirts. Everyone is. Everyone. And they're all like, oh, my God, honey, that's where the library is. That's wonderful. And this is where you and your study chums have pizza. Isn't that fantastic? Now, sweetheart, you must tell your mother and I before we leave which one of these boys is trying to fuck you! You just point him out! She is my baby. I don't care if you have sex, but it means that I'm getting older and I don't want to die. Your daddy doesn't want to die. Your daddy doesn't want to die. And it's also fun to see young couples that are in college, because I just look at them all and I go, doomed, 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 doomed. I know you in 10 years. I know you in 10 years.
This is the thinnest you'll ever be.
It is wonderful because you don't realize that you are getting older. Your body gets older, but you don't get older. Yours is still the same person. And you're but I walk around here and I see all these kids. I feel like a mummy. It is funny. I was hiking near my house and I had my dog. And these two very beautiful young women, probably in their 20, 21 years old children, are walking up the hiking trail and they look and they don't. What I realize is that I'm invisible. I'm just the blur on the other end of the leash. They don't even see me.
Yeah, you're like a kindly old tree.
Yeah, I am. I should be dispensing apples.
Why don't you kids have an apple?
You don't want to go to this part of the forest.
Now, Matt, where did you go to college? See, I went to the University of Massachusetts, which is a big college town, not unlike Bloomington. That's in Amherst, Massachusetts. Where did you go to school?
Well, I don't want to brag, but I got an AA at City College of San Francisco in film production.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that means you took film classes and became an alcoholic, but then decided to deal with it.
I learned how to make films with certain techniques that are completely unusable now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you grew up in the city of San Francisco, and then you went to the college in the city of San Francisco.
I did, yes.
So you never had like that college town experience.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I once went to a dance, and it was almost like They Live. You know, it was like everybody turned and looked at me and went, "Why are you here? Why aren't you Asian?"
I get that in my house a lot. Yeah, I've been having flashbacks of Amherst, Massachusetts this week. It's like, oh, yes, white people with dreadlocks. I almost forgot.
At dinner, right?
Yeah, like, nose rings. Right.
Yeah.
You get the one couple, they both have nose rings and the weird hank of hair. How long have you two been each other?
Yeah.
Doomed. Yeah. Doomed.
You are Brendel couple.
And today's the first day of fall.
You don't have to tell me.
Well, I know you and your solstice mania.
Yeah, hey. Come on, I'm a Wiccan. I know these things.
Please welcome our panel for the evening. First, a very dear fellow, a wonderful friend, a simpatico. He has his own podcast, if you can believe it, entitled Jonah Radio. He is the host of The Meltdown on Comedy Central. Please welcome the lovely and talented Jonah Ray. It's people had an easier time flying in from Billings, Montana than they did driving here from the Valley.
Billings, Montana, you. That's a good comedy town.
It is a good comedy
town. Not as a town that has comedy, but just as a funny yes. sounding town.
It's sister city to Sheboygan.
A Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
Walla Walla, Washington. That's a classic.
That's and that's a Bugs Bunny classic, I believe.
Yeah, that is. That's an old one. And then there's also Hitler, Indiana.
And I'll just say it. Ass Bukkake, Maryland. Hey, speaking of ass Bukkake, I would like to say that all the proceeds for tonight's show are going to the pediatric hospital of Los... No. There's no way to connect those, and I would never do a benefit for a pediatric hospital. No. My other guests are one of my favorite comedians. So funny, so fresh. She is a writer on Chelsea Lately. She is going to be on this stage as soon as I finish saying her name.
She has a podcast, you know, this comedian.
She didn't tell me that when I said, what do you want me to say about you?
She's humble.
So she's also someone who likes to keep secrets.
Ooh, the intrigue of the Dana Gould hour.
And you are, by the way, as sick as your secrets, said the guy who has several. Jonah, we had a lunch where I told
you... We had a lunch.
Where I told you some of my secrets. And
yeah, you did.
You were amazed.
It really ruined my sandwich at Fred 62.
Yep. Why are you sending out all these change of address cards? Funny you should mention that.
It's weird, like, having, like a coffee at a diner and just going in between sips. Oh, Dana, no!
Anyway.
Oh, what? No,
oh,
Dana, no!
I thought that only happened on TV. No, it happened to me. Please welcome the hilarious April Richardson, ladies and gentlemen. Come on up. Thank you very much. Funny man, April Richardson.
That's right.
Thank you for coming down tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I didn't disclose that I also have a podcast at the Podcast Festival.
Yeah.
That was not well planned.
You got to play your strengths.
Sorry about that.
And what is your podcast?
It's called Go Bayside.
Now, I'm sure you could just guess what that's about.
You can guess
about.
What it's about, but if you can't, it's I deconstruct every episode of Saved by the Bell in order. So I'm doing the Lord's work. It's very important. Yeah.
I love that idea.
It's a pretty great idea.
I think that podcasts need... I love the specificity of it.
Right.
And yeah. it has an end game.
It does.
Because after a certain point, you can't do anymore.
I can't do it anymore.
Unless you start doing fanfic.
No, calm down. I'm not a nerd. God.
No
college years. They don't count. Neither does Good Morning, Miss Bliss. Both of those are terrible. Only Original Recipe. That's all I'm doing. So
I do. I have the same show for Galactica 1980. Yeah. Which a lot of people don't remember starred Kent McCord of Adam 12. As a grown-up version of Boxy, who was Adama's son from... Adama's grandson, Starbucks.
I think
son.
You're starting episode one right now of this new podcast.
What's interesting is I'm so aggressively not getting laid at this moment.
I'm sure there's an old lady here somewhere.
I'm anti...
Now, I remember the original Adama.
Sure. To watch it, if you were watching a show on a different channel, you'd have to get up out of your chair and then physically move across the room as if you were a puma stalking prey. And then you would turn a knob with your hand like a monkey in a lab test trying to win a raisin.
You have to use your hand. It's like for babies.
The world I'm describing existed.
Yeah, right, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Not my world, not my America.
Not Jonah Ray's America, land of convenience and buttons.
My That's the future to you. Convenience and buttons.
Convenience and buttons.
Which buttons are being phased out convenient. By now?
My new. I don't want to get into this, but I have a new home. Casa Isolato.
You invited me over recently. You were like, do you want to see the sadness place?
I got a hanging beam in the kitchen.
It already says Brooks was here.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. My suicide note is fucking awesome. There's a sonnet in the middle of it, and you would think I couldn't rhyme shit-crusted anal beads, and I did. Why did I say that?
Shit-crusted anal beads is the new orange.
Right. There's two kinds of anal beads. Shit-crusted anal beads and unopened anal beads. But only in this country could we have them. They say we don't make anything anymore. Somebody in this country shot up out of a dead sleep and just thought, I wish there was a necklace so big it felt great being yanked out of my asshole. Or maybe he was just having a hard time starting the lawnmower.
My wife's pearl necklace ain't cutting it anymore. I don't know, maybe I'm getting old and loose.
Loose.
Well, they're loose. This, where we've taken the show already speaks poorly of everyone.
You haven't even introduced all of the guests that we've gone into great detail about anal beads.
Let's introduce our final guest, if she is in the room, and if she's not, I'm going to invite her to just walk up on the room. Is she here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, thank you. Please welcome another one of my... I had a very short list of people that I wanted on the show. Hilarious, very funny, very talented comedian, songstress... professional hockey player. Please welcome Hannah Ganson, ladies and gentlemen. Awesome. Thank you for coming.
I'll tell you what you missed.
Anal beads.
Yeah. All right, you're caught up.
I'm all caught up.
Has anyone ever bought them and not said, they're not for me?
Or, has anyone ever bought them?
Yeah,
I haven't. It's always just ended up at the apartment I was living in. Where does this one come from? Is it yours? No, it was here before.
It is like that December 23rd. I got to get him something.
I had a friend that worked at a video store, and then they wanted to promote him to manager. He was like, oh, that's great. He's like, but it's a new location. We're starting another store. He's like, oh, where is it? They're like, in the warehouse district. And he's like, okay, let's go take a look at it. And they went, and it was like you walk in, and it was just a small little space of just new releases. And then it was porn and black dongs. And it was mostly porn in a warehouse district.
Black dongs?
Yeah.
I thought you said dogs.
No.
It's a porn Labrador rescue.
Yeah, that's... But they're both used for the same thing.
They are. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
That was, and he had to, like, he heard that constantly. It was always like a guy trying to act like he had friends and say, like, I'm getting it for my buddy for his bachelor party. And then just gigantic black dong.
Those stores down in the warehouse district, as my friend Drake said, they're used to describe Home Depot as you can't see the wall of the store because of the curvature of the earth. Well, it's funny that you mention that because...
What, black, curvature
black
of the earth?
Black dongs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black dongs and porn wear home. You know, I don't think of it as a warehouse. I think of it as a wear home. But it is the first day of all, which means this... horrible summer is over, and our favorite time of the year is coming up. I say us like we're an old gay couple.
Almost, though.
Our
really?
Favorite Aren't time we? Of the year. Yeah, we are like an old gay couple. We're always together and we don't fuck.
Not that you know of.
I well, thought that was a ghost. That's not ectoplasm, that's rectoplasm. Raped by a ghost. There's your show from the producers of Touched by an Angel. Raped by a ghost. And you'd have a ghost baby named Casper, because that's what he was, a dead child. By the way, the mascot for Boo Berry cereal is a dead guy in a hat that loved berries.
I find that more frightening than Frankenstein, actually.
Yeah. That was just like late in 3-day weekend, late on a Friday. I don't know. It's a ghost that likes berries. Can I go home? Told my kid I'd take him to see Chicken Run. I got to get the hell out of here. My kid's got a thing. It's a dead guy in a hat. He likes berries. Just a bowl of sugar. Get off my dick, will ya? I love lazy advertising slogans. My favorite, soup is good food. That's, it's like, I don't know, soup is good food. Look, man, my wife's having surgery today. I can't be here. Soup is good food, okay? Will you just please let me just go?
This is meat. All right, we're going with that, right? That's it?
This is meat. Now, what is Halloween like here in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana? It looks like it's pretty wholesome and wonderful. So you can.
Wow, this town carries a dark secret.
Are you here for the festival? You've offended Landru. You didn't. That's not where you were going on that?
Of course. I'm always headed towards a Star Trek reference. Festival. I actually won a costume contest dressed as a Gorn that I made. I made a Gorn mask out of paper mache.
Mm-hmm.
And George Takei was one of the judges.
Okay.
And I got to go backstage with my Gorn costume, and he went, "That's very good."
Now, how old were you at this point?
27.
Okay. When you're 27 years old and you win a costume contest with your homemade Gorn costume, that translates into an avalanche of pussy. That's what I guess.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Let's just say I had to put my phaser on kill to get the ladies to stay away. I had to get out my agonizer. I had to engage my Tantalus field. There was a Tholian web. We'll keep going.
Some of those women haven't had sex in so long that when you pry their legs open, there was a Tholian web. Like opening an old book.
Yeah. It was like the... Yeah.
Those little silver fish go scattering.
Yeah, yeah, very...
These are old, ignored vagina jokes, which will not make the broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a sign that says, mine closed.
I burst a tire once.
Is this a metaphor?
Because of a vagina joke. I was driving with my brother. We were on Cape Cod. And I was driving with my brother, and on Cape Cod, a lot of the roads don't have sidewalks. It just kind of goes off. And there was a girl running, jogging. It was really sweaty. And I was driving, and my brother just said, as she drove past us, my brother said, "Man," he said, "prying her legs apart after a run like that would be like pulling apart a grilled cheese sandwich." Only he didn't say legs, and I laughed. I laughed so hard, we literally went off the road and hit a tree stump and exploded the tire and dented the rim, and it was a lot of money.
Why did you have to tell that story? Now I want a grilled cheese sandwich.
Now I want to eat a grilled cheese sandwich until it has a fulfilling orgasm.
Is there any other way?
Jonah, you're a Halloween dude.
I'm a Halloween dude.
You like monsters?
Boo, bros.
That's Should I take that off my Match.com profile? I'm a Halloween dude.
I'm scared of ghosts.
Yeah. I'm afraid of girls. I'm afraid of intimacy. April, you don't like to be frightened.
Not a fan of it. I thought you were going to also ask me, are you a Halloween dude?
You're not a Halloween dude. I know that much about
you.
No,
I'm not a fan of being scared.
Yeah.
No. I like Halloween, though, but I don't go to like super haunted things.
You like Halloween, but not the movie.
Yeah. Hell no.
What about Halloween 2?
No, none of the above.
What about Halloween 3?
Season of the Witch.
No.
Well,
any movie that you name that's remotely scary.
Well, wait. What about Halloween 4?
Nope. Not having it.
Okay, all right.
What about the remake? What about Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween 2?
Nope.
Which is a remake of a sequel.
Not having it.
A movie based on a holiday. Now to be Rob Zombie's Easter 2.
Hey,
about a guy that came back from the dead.
That's right. What about that?
You know, it was supposed to take Jesus 1 hour to take the cross to Golgotha, but he's a carpenter, so he showed up late and took all fucking day. Hannah?
Yeah?
Are you into the...
Halloween?
Are you a nerd? What are your...
I love being scared. I like feeling something. It's good. That's why I'm a big fan of turbulence on trains, too. or planes.
Yeah.
Turbulence on trains. Yeah. Like, wow, she's really taking this into meta territory.
Trains have nothing but turbulence.
Yeah.
Well, not the ones in bridal dresses. Yeah! How about that?
Come on.
Wedding humor.
Come on. Because girls just want to get married.
It's true.
Guys, take
we want to be scared on Halloween and get married, too. We can do it all, ladies. Let's carve a pumpkin and register at Target.
Yay! We go with that women's lip shit.
Yep.
Well, I've often felt that getting a Halloween pumpkin is a lot like picking your spouse. You search and you search and you search for the perfect one. Then get it home and begin to gut and mutilate it into what you really want it to be.
Was that part of your vows? Maybe it went?
You are like a pumpkin.
I always thought that's how Manson picked the people in the family to do the killing. Just a slowly, like, who here is really good at jack-o'-lanterns?
How fast can you shake my hand?
But this is why I wanted to bring this up. So my friend sent me this link to a book by an author named Christy Sims. And the book is called, this is true.
What, that a woman wrote a book?
I couldn't print up something.
No, I'm not making this up.
You can't print lies.
You can't print up, you cannot.
That's true.
You cannot. Here's the book. Ravished. Ravished by the Triceratops.
Oh. That Triceratops can, like, bang three ladies.
Exactly. Dinosaur Beast Erotica, Kindle edition. Description. This is a tale of monster sex.
They're just giving it away right up front.
The story was written to unlock your darkest fantasies and innermost desires. It is not for the faint of heart, and then an odd selling point, and is not your mother's erotica.
Well, it depends on how old your mother is.
Yeah.
I mean, dinosaurs, that's into, like the oldest porn there is.
She's into amoeba erotica.
Lord knows people can't wait to diddle themselves to what mom rubbed one off to. Yeah. Whatever my parents like, just give me a bag of that.
After sex with a dinosaur, you're really Saurus.
Because you've just had a Jurassic porking. All of the sexual descriptions found in this book are very explicit in nature. It is not suitable for someone 18 years of age. Here's the first sentence. Beleria's pride has gotten her into trouble again.
Oh, fuck.
Before she can complete her rights of womanhood and take her place in the tribe, she must provide a kill for her tribe. I can't see how this would go awry.
Mm-hmm.
This woman has also written the books Taken at the Dinosaur Museum.
Is that just like the movie Taken, but at a dinosaur museum?
Yes.
I have a certain set of skills and knowledge about dinosaurs.
Yes. Liam Neeson, I'm going to say this very carefully. I've learned much about dinosaurs from a long career at the Slate Rock Quarry. Every day, the lunch whistle would blow, and I would slide down a dinosaur's back to have my lunch. I'm also in the Royal Order of Water Buffaloes. And I'm good friends with Stony Kurt Rock.
Hey, Liam!
She's also written Mounted by the Griffin, T-Rex Troubles.
You just glazed over what sounds like the best indie rock album title of all time. Mounted by the Griffin.
Wait a minute. Don't be so sure. You've yet to rear in the Velociraptor's nest. Here's my question. Human behavior, is there a bottom? In Los Angeles, Halloween is a massive thing. Like, it's already started in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
It's like every empty storefront becomes a spirit Halloween store.
Yes.
They're like 7-Elevens now. They're every corner is a costume store. And they have all sorts of haunted corn mazes. And I don't know why. I just love this shit so much.
Me too.
What is it like here? I would think the Heartland here, it would be like that, but maybe slightly more wholesome. I go. What's the zombie walk?
A bunch of people in the community dress up like zombies and walk down Kirkwood.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
See, in a haunted corn maze, you go through a cornfield at night and a formerly homeless man in a wolfman mask jumps out from the dark and shakes a can of pennies at you.
Terrifying.
And that's the so yeah. The it's sort of like the opening of Thriller, but here's the problem with zombies, and I know this is sacrilege.
Oh,
to
here
me.
We go.
And I know people that are. I'm very close with a lot of people on The Walking Dead. I have a hard time though when you're in a situation that can be resolved like this. Here they come. Let's stroll out of here. If they get any closer, we're going to have to break into a light jog.
Right. But isn't that the whole thing about The Walking Dead? Really, the best way to get away from The Walking Dead is just simply walk a little faster.
That's right.
Yeah.
Until they finally make, like, the skipping dead or the frolicking dead.
Yeah. How about walking at a reasonable pace dead?
Yeah. The gamboling dead.
Sauntering.
The sauntering dead. They're all smoking and they have cocktails.
How'd you all get in my room?
I don't know, because I grew up on Cemetery Street. My home address as a child was 9 Cemetery Street, and it was a little street that ended at the town cemetery. And this is absolutely true, by the way. At the end of the street lived my friend Rusty Putnam. His name was Russell Irving Putnam, and his initials were RIP, and he lived right across the street from the cemetery. But for us, Halloween was great because we had a great – I mean, it really was like the Charlie Brown Halloween. It really was like the Peanuts. It looked just like that. In fact – when I watch that special, I get a brutal blow of sadness, a Proustian memory. It's like tasting your childhood and knowing it's gone. Am I overthinking this?
Wow. You're.
Anybody at all agree
powerful.
With me?
It's a very powerful statement.
Anybody? No one agrees with me? Should I go fuck myself now? Do you ever feel that way? It's just like so evocative. And it's like, oh, and it's gone. But then you have kids and you get to relive it. But if you take trick-or-treating as a sarcastic parody of capitalism.
Gotcha.
And Linus's rejection of it in lieu of his obsession with the Great Pumpkin, a rare and hard-to-believe religious faith, then It's the Great Pumpkin really is a childhood allegory of the 9/11 attacks.
It's clear. I mean, obviously.
And my favorite,
way ahead of its time.
My favorite part of it is that, one, all of the adults in the neighborhood got together at some point and said, let's just give this one kid rocks. Which
horrible
is just
people.
Psychologically brutal. But on the other hand, Linus's parents went to bed without checking to make sure he was in bed. He was asleep in a pumpkin patch. His young lesbian sister had to get up in the middle of the night and bring his chattering body into the house. The whole point of the Peanuts was it was the world of children from a children's perspective, so you never saw the adults. And when you did, you only saw them from the waist down, and they talked in that whoop, 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 because that's all kids hear 9 times out of 10. But they were present in the lives of the children. There's no reason Linus should have been asleep in a field at night.
But maybe that really was the point, though. Maybe they talked that way as a way of saying, no, these parents are completely divorced.
Or it could be, why is that such a terrible thing that parents get divorced, Matt?
Oh.
See, maybe it's they talk like this, blah, 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 because it was the children of a bunch of people that had horrible strokes. And they just couldn't do any parenting at all. And that's why the kids were always together. But we need to find food. My parents are just staggering around the house in their own feces.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
There's an owl attacking my dad, and there's nothing I can do about it.
They're slowly drowning in their walk-in tubs.
Finally, Charlie Brown has it. He takes his dad upstairs, just drowns him in the toilet. I can't see you die slowly. You've got to go now.
It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
And then finally... My dad can't really be dead. There's no signed document. Oh, he's dead, son. Would you please get in the back of the squad car?
I'm, like, kind of obsessed with furries and this kind of weird sex subculture and reading about and stuff. And my problem with this the most, though, is that, like, I would argue that dinosaurs, if you're going to fetishize a... Dinosaurs are arguably the least sexy animals. You know what I mean? If somebody's trying to sell me a book where it's like a tiger gets up, it's like, okay, I kind of get that
more. You get
more
a tiger?
Than,
I don't know.
I get that more than like a brontosaurus.
Well, it's because like, you've seen that's a tiger in real life.
Manatee?
I was just going to say that. That's so weird.
And I also don't like turbulence on trains.
I'm just saying, I've seen people jerking off to, like, tigers more than, you know,
wait,
a T-Rex.
What happened?
I mean,
you mean, what happened to you, Chelsea, lately?
Do you mean the Detroit Tigers?
I guess that's the solid point I'm trying to make. You know what I mean? Somebody must know
no,
what
there
I mean.
No, I do know what you mean. And I there's a difference between mammals and reptiles.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, sexy time-wise, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because dinosaurs are unattainable because they're like dead, and you know.
So that makes them hotter.
To me, yeah.
Women only want with it. Women only want with it. Can't have. Am I right?
That's right.
That's why they're really into getting raped by velociraptors.
Hey.
Also, how
those are clever girls.
I didn't get that.
It's from the movie.
Clever girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
Instead of making a joke, I just referenced something people might know.
No, that was great. Now I get it.
Hang on a minute. Shh, shh, shh.
You'll edit that one in later.
That was great. Awesome job.
I'll go.
Excellent job.
So thank you.
So go on. Well, you
I don't know if I want to go on because everybody already thinks I'm the weirdest one up here because
Here is my question.
Thank you. How next level is it that they got to be it's not crazy enough to get to have sex with dinosaurs. They got to be raping you?
I haven't read the book.
How high do the stakes have to get?
I haven't read the book. I didn't have time to read the book. So I hate to interview people without having read their book.
Sure.
But I think I'm going to read Mounted by the Griffin first.
Is it a linear plot through all of
them? Is yours Mounted by Griffin? It's about a woman that met Griffin Dunn at a party.
I really liked... I told him I liked him in an American Werewolf in London, and the next thing I knew...
Where does it go? Because I was talking to somebody about, like, if you... With the internet now, you can start off with topless chicks, topless redheads, whatever your fetish is.
Sure.
And with a series of clicks, before you know it, it's you're just in a land of horror.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes. It goes way beyond. And I'm filthy. I'm despicable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But it's even me like, we're not, this isn't sex. This is just a physical endurance test. I did a show called Porn Stars and Pundits. And it was people talking about the news with a porn star. And I was on, because my name is Dana, I was on with a woman named Dana DeArmond. And who you might not know is a porn actress.
Ah, yes. I remember when she worked at a coffee shop.
Seems we've had more than one revealing lunch at Fred's 62. Long story short, I will openly admit I was unfamiliar with her professional work. So I checked her out. And there, that's not even... This is like... an Iditarod. This is just a naked Iditarod with other people.
Yeah, it's an endurance challenge, like you said.
Yeah. And at what point does human behavior ever stop? You know, do we just go, no?
Do they need to keep on pushing, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Does access to technology, has it just opened up the Pandora's box of our lizard brains to the point that, how much is the internet... Hannah.
Yeah.
How much of the internet is used for sex? 99%?
100.
It must be 100%.
Well, email is a large portion. Maybe not 99%. I mean, how many percents are we having in here? Are we stopping at 100? Can we go 300?
Yeah, we're not going to the spinal tap.
Yeah. I guess
you can only have 100% of anything.
Math is magic. That's it. Somebody put that on a magnet.
It's
magic.
It's a real weird thing. I remember when someone told me that I'm going to send you a video and you're going to see a guy getting fucked to death by a horse.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
So the guy was killed by the horse?
Yeah.
This is what you hear when you watch it.
I bet the video would have been a lot shorter if it was a dinosaur.
I don't think you could get a horse to fuck a dinosaur.
Not with that attitude. Huh? Let's have an open mind here.
Yeah, open up your mind, Dana.
Yeah, it's 2013.
Think like a winner.
It's the worst thing ever. Also, there's a documentary about it called Zoo.
Have you ever heard of Zoo Porn? Or no, it's ZooTube.
YouTube?
It's like you would think that if you put in ZooTube, it would be just like, oh, a fun day at the zoo. Like, look at the kangaroo or whatever kind of animals they have there.
That's how blasé I am at any zoo. Look at that fucking tug.
But it's animal porn.
Sure. It's just animals having sex with each other?
No, people with animals. Yeah.
I'm not in favor of that.
Is this the filthiest episode of the Dana Gould Hour?
Oh, I would never use this.
Welcome to Political Talk with two guys from Boston. A working man's look at the socio-political issues of our day. And now, Political Talk with two guys from Boston.
Welcome to Political Talk with two guys from Boston. I'm Johnny Conan.
Robbie Sullivan here.
How the fuck are you?
Yeah, we're from Bevel Aqua, air conditioning and heating. We're cool if you're cool.
Bevel Aqua. And you got lights in your house? You got lights?
Of course you do.
We had to get lights in our house. We fried the whole... Some fucking asshole hit a fucking tree and blew the... What is the fucking garbage can that hangs off the light pole? Yeah. That thing?
He was half a retard.
He was... Half of him was retarded. The other half was mental. So the thing goes down. I walk out there.
Yeah.
And there's a DWP truck.
Yeah.
And I walk out and I'm standing right over the power...
Yeah.
The down line.
Yeah.
And I say to the guy, he's in the truck. I go, am I in danger being out here?
Right.
And he goes, you'll notice I'm in the truck.
Yeah.
So I shit a brick and I went back in the house. So we had to get a new lighting rig, the whole house. And now you can't just turn your light on.
What do you got to do?
It all goes off an iPad. Or your phone.
That's fucking weird.
You can turn your lights on with your phone.
I
don't fucking want to. Can I get
either.
A switch on the goddamn wall?
Yeah.
They don't have... That's like a specialty item.
Yeah. Imagine saying to your mother, Mother, Mom, turn this off with my phone.
Yeah.
She fucking run out of the house screaming with her hair on
she
fire.
Thinks you're a, she thinks I'm a wizard.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You are, in a way, when you're doing that.
Yeah. Your lights work through your phone. Your camera's now your phone. Your alarm system works off the phone.
Yeah.
If somebody takes my... If I get pushed into a swimming pool, I get pissed off. If I've got my phone with me, my life is over.
I know. I've seen you. You start to panic immediately.
Yeah. Well, I can't swim, which is another reason I'm not too...
Oh, that's part of it. Yeah, for sure.
Hip to being pushed into a pool. But at a certain point, technology... It's just like a ball of fish hooks in my asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Put a fucking light on the wall and leave me the fuck alone.
I put all my shit in a box and I lock it and just back away.
Yeah. It's a simple... The simple pleasures in life are the best ones.
Live simply so that something else can happen. I forget.
You know what makes me happy? Sitting down in the morning with a cup of coffee and a ballpoint pen,
fucking
opening
right.
up the comics page of the newspaper, drawing a cock on Mama Duke, and going to work.
Like everybody else.
Then I cut it out, put it in a shoebox, and then one day when I'm dead, they're going to go, what's in this box? 4,000 cartoons of Mama Duke with a dong on it.
And I can imagine somebody going, Jesus, he was talented.
He was a mysterious man.
Yeah, I didn't know he was an artist.
My brother's got the Patriots logo, the Red Sox logo, and the Bruins logo tattooed on his arms. Because his fear is one day he's going to be found dead. And the people who find him won't know who his favorite teams were.
Yeah. Imagine getting buried in a fucking Yankee cemetery. Fuck that shit.
By the way, can we quit getting buried? What the fuck?
I don't know.
What is the belief that we've got to just put me in a box and put me in the ground? What are you saving me for?
I'd say everyone on the right wants to be a fucking dish of ashes and everybody over here wants a plot. It's just like that. It's like half and half. It's like tradition. It's like why you eat what you eat and why you don't. See, look at all them fucking people. Total plot motherfuckers, right? And I can see all these people with a fucking their own little ashtray. Fuck them, too.
I'm just saying at a certain point, there's going to be more space taken up by dead people than live people.
Maybe we could bury everyone with a Prius battery. Because they don't know what to do with them.
I don't know. Don't they? What do you mean?
What if every casket? Dang, this could fucking make us some money. What if every casket?
Or Johnny.
Yeah. But you had a little light in there for your departed. And it ran on the end of the power from the Prius battery. Uh-huh. So you could, like, Catholic justify it. And then fucking everybody gets buried with one, and now fucking two problems solved. Okay. Grandma and the fucking Prius.
Or
yeah,
a baby monitor video camera
oh, I
in
like
the
that
casket.
Better. Yeah, that's fucking fun.
So you can enjoy the innate putrescence of the human body's decaying cycle.
What?
Well, you know, when you get buried...
This is not what you said.
When you get buried, they put... First of all, they put makeup on you.
Not fucking me.
I know.
I just joined this half of the fucking people. Put me in an ashtray and fuck the rouge of these motherfuckers.
People don't understand.
Yeah,
where
no,
from,
I'm not fucking doing that.
Where we're from, that instantly makes you queer.
Yeah. You're already half a queer if you fucking ever put on anything, like jewelry by mistake.
It's true.
Some people can't get it out. They put it in, they're like, fuck, what did I do? Remember in Boston, when we were like in seventh grade, collars were up, coaches' shoes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these earrings start showing up on tough guys.
My father.
But we knew what the fuck that was.
My father threw my brother out of the house because he had an ear cuff.
Good for your father.
Yeah. What? All right. This has been bothering me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say it one time.
Say it. This is why we're here.
I understand that Gene Simmons is a fire demon. And that Paul Stanley is the immortal lover. And that Ace Frehley is the star child. What the fuck was Peter Criss on when he thought, and I will be a kitty cat? Women will throw tins of sardines and small containers of cream on stage. And when I have eaten the sardines, I will toy with the tin. I think Peter Criss needed to spend more time on his character.
It was probably like last minute. Everyone else was ready.
And see, like, I would.
Ma, think, what have you got? I gotta go.
See, I think if you follow the Halloween model, the last minute would be fire demon, star child, lover, hobo. I feel that I am standing astride modernity.
Again, what?
The world, the technology is advancing beyond my ability to deal with it, and I'm.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you a box.
Yeah, I just need a box. I am close to just going down to the river and banging my clothes clean on a rock.
Really?
I can't, because I lost my phone, and now I can't turn on my washing machine.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph, come over to my house. Use my rock.
I can't. That's the best pickup line ever.
I'm just saying, it's already in place. The table is set.
This has been Political Talk with two guys from Boston. I'm Johnny Condon.
Thanks again, everybody.
Political Talk with two guys from Boston.
I always remember a Charlie Brown comic story where he had the problem. He loved baseball so much that he developed a scar that made his head look like a baseball. And so he had to walk around with a sack over his head. And then for the next, like, 19 strips, he was called Mr. Sack. And everyone went to him for advice, and then everyone liked him. What the fuck is wrong with Charles Schulz?
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, he was taking the panels of Charlie Brown with the sack on his head and selling them in the Mason-Dixon as Lil' Klansman. And it was sort of like Family Circus.
Yeah, right.
These are going to segregate our school, Daddy. You know, it was a whole different strip, and they made a
lot.
They are. By the way, not to brag, you know, every town has its bragging rights. Aren't we very close to the headquarters of the Klan in the United States? Mm-hmm. Where's the sense of civic pride that I Now, on Halloween, how do you know if it's a ghost or a Klansman? I guess that's the...
It's a very good question.
Yeah. I don't know whether to arrest you or give you a delicious Zagnut. Yes, that's true. It's much more conical. The best Halloween is when you're 13 and you're too young to go trick-or-treating and too old to do anything else. So you just walk around and, as we would say, do crimes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 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 It's trick or trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Did you ever get in any serious Halloween trouble? You had a horrible childhood.
Well, we had yes, that's true. We had a really horrible scoutmaster who I'm sure was a pedophile, and I think he tried.
When you say scoutmaster, I would think pedophile is implied.
Yes, well,
no, that's terrible. I'd take that back. I'm going to cut that.
But this guy was ridiculous.
Well, because honestly, I grew up with a Roman Catholic priest who was a great guy. And it's a terrible story. And in fact, was a big part of this Halloween. No, it's really true. I was an altar boy in the Boston Archdiocese, and nothing ever happened to me. Always a bridesmaid, never the bride.
Well, now you know the right kind of pants to wear, so, yeah.
That's true.
I've helped you with your makeup, so things should turn around very quickly.
So you had a terrible scoutmaster.
And so, and he was just a horrible person, not only for the... kind of molestation attempts that he would do, but he would also just a bastard.
Really? Wait, no, wait a minute.
Yes?
So if there's anything to be learned in this, children listening, if anyone tries to molest you, it's open season on pranking.
Yeah. We threw, all our friends got together and we got a bunch of rocks and we hid in the hills, there were trees, and we just started throwing rocks at his house. And broke some windows, and he came out and went, Stop it! And we all kind of felt like our work here is done. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would get a corpse of something and either leave it on the porch, like a really disturbing, or just like...
An animal corpse and then shave it and make it look like a boy?
Yeah, or, you know what would be a great thing to do? Just like paint the number 3. On his porch in red, just like small where he can see it.
Oh, that's good.
And then like
a psychological thing.
Yeah, and then 2 days later, just add a 1, just add 13 in front of it. And then, you know, just a little weird.
And put it around town maybe, or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, little weird messages. I should do that now.
Yeah. After the show, let's just go out and do that.
To my high school enemies that I still have grudges for.
Oh, don't get me going.
Yeah. The only thing that keeps me afloat in this world is I cling to my grudges.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well it's like me. Like I was beat up by jocks, and now I have a fantasy football team where they all die in a plane crash. We work through these things. You process them.
Yeah, you find different ways of processing. My fantasy baseball team is in pretend court because of something they did to your fantasy football team's cheerleading squad.
Well, they had it coming. They're fantasy.
Do you still play role-playing games?
I
did for 18 years, but we just quit it.
Yeah, my role-playing game is thinking that I'm some sort of man.
Yeah. It's an awkward time in my comedy career because it's hard to not talk about the things in your life that are so prevalent in your consciousness. But I have found that talking about your divorce is kind of like talking about your diarrhea. You know, it's incredibly important to you, but nobody wants to hear about it. Well, it's been a long time, but, Sue and I have decided to get diarrhea. Better we get it now than to keep it inside till the kids go to college. Yeah, it's messy. And the paperwork is endless. Certain things do change about your life. Like things I have found make me happier than they used to. Different things. Like I was in my new house and I was, or as I like to call it, Falcon's Lair.
Do you have a falcon?
I am the falcon.
Oh, well, of course.
The first night I actually slept in the other house, she's like, so you're going to go up? I just said, the falcon must nest. And cut to 6 hours later, a tear-streaked Russian prostitute waiting for a cab. I just wanted you to love me. What's wrong with doggy style and blowjob? No, I want your emotions. Yeah. I can have sex by myself. I just need someone to listen to me and feel. Too strange. Very strange for me.
Please. I need to leave. I cannot watch any more dark shadows.
Why can't you just fucking punch like everyone else? Fucking punch. I just want to cuddle with you. It's disgusting.
Okay, you are the best at Magic the Gathering, okay?
I am Nova, and you are Astronaut Taylor. Is that right? And now Heavy Gorilla come.
Take a look at the Forbidden Zone.
Never mind. I'm not going to go there. She completely shaved her Forbidden Zone. Okay. Okay, so I'm afraid to meet people. I don't know how to... I have no game at all. My fear is that you find somebody in your life and you feel comfortable enough with them that you can say those three little words, I love you. And they respond with those six little words, oh my God, that's so nice. How tuned into the news do you
get? Usually like 3 feet. I say 3 feet away from the news.
You know what's going on right now.
Syria. Oh, shit. Government.
Yeah. He's a Halloween dude. He only cares about Halloween.
Yeah. Is the White House haunted?
Yeah.
If the White House was haunted, it would be great. Because the fact that the White House is not haunted proves that nothing has ever been haunted. Because when you think about the creepy shit that went down in that place, if that place... And it would be great if it was haunted because you could identify the ghosts by the... You know the president's voice.
I thought it was known to be haunted.
I am a ghost. Boo. I am a scary ghost. I am looking for the ghost of Marilyn Monroe. Have you seen her? Boo.
I want to join in with another president, but I don't trust my impressions.
Oh, I think you could do a great boo. See, Obama's not dead. There you go. Boo.
Yeah. Boo.
Yeah.
That's great, actually. That was really good.
The ghost of John Boehner will sound like, the problem is not boo. The problem is we have a spending problem in this country.
Here's one. Boo! We don't know what George Washington sounded like.
Yeah. Boo!
Boo!
Ghosts that are just, that's just a ghost that doesn't really have an agenda. Just boo.
Yeah. I like to think that before recording devices were around, that every person sounded like Fred Schneider from the B-52s.
My fellow Americans!
My fellow Americans! The thing about Fred Schneider, it could easily be Jello Biafra. It's a very slippery slope.
You know what's interesting? The Doors song
sucks.
That pretty much covers
Thank
it.
Thank you. I didn't know where I was going with that.
That pretty much covers it.
I had nothing planned when I started
I'm
that.
Sorry.
No. The Doors song Riders on the Storm, for whatever reason, is written in such a way that it would be a great song for him to sing.
Fred Schneider?
There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Hey, toad, get out of that road.
Perfect.
It would be great.
I would like it a lot better.
It would be the ultimate Fred Schneider song.
I would have listened to The Doors if Fred Schneider was the lead singer.
Fred Schneider is alive. He should join The Doors.
Of course he's alive.
He can replace Ian Astbury in Doors of the 21st Century.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wait.
Sing some more Doors songs of Fred Schneider, please.
I will.
Seriously.
What's another door song?
Gonna break on through to the other side.
Right.
So good.
Break, 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 Rock Lobster.
Totally.
Let me tell you about Texas Radio and the Big Beat. Comes
out of the Virginia swamps, cool and slow with deadly precision and a backbeat narrow and hard to master.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
I think your fire's lit. You're fooling no one, Fred Schneider. Your fire is lit. It's, you can't really top Riders on the Storm, though. Girl, you gotta love your man.
That's so perfect.
You've gotta take him by the hand. Take your man's hand. Now! Ow!
Holy shit.
You know, Jim Morrison really wanted to be a poet. He wanted to be called a poet, but mainstream poets would never accept him because every year he won the most blowjobs given to a poet award.
He was a drunk with a notebook. Yeah. I'll say this about the Doors.
He was the best poet of anybody in fifth grade.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
The Doors were, and I've said this before, the Doors are the Smash Mouth of their time. Shitty.
First album's great. Last album's great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But how long are the albums?
Yes.
Some guy. Smash Mouth?
I'm just as shocked as you.
So I might be on board. See, the Door. I would love every Door song if they were 15 minutes shorter.
Now, Hannah, you must have an appreciation for them, being a keyboard player.
Yeah.
No? Now, can you tell your dad you love him?
Yes.
Yes. But your dad's 90 now.
He's 90, yeah.
I love you, Dad.
Thank you, miss.
Yes. You know, I get that.
I can fly in my top hat. No, Dad, that's Lidsville. That's the Sid and Marty Krofft childhood classic Lidsville, Dad.
Who invited the president?
The first time I told my dad I loved him, it was like watching Mo Sizlak smile. It was just that horrible... Like when Caesar talked for the first time in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Just, I love you, Dad. He was so not used to saying. But he did get it. He stepped up to the plate. But this is right. I do not remember who told me this story, but it's true. Guy was talking to his dad, and he said, Dad, I love you. And his dad said, hey. No problem. I know. That is just like... Oh, it was Mark David Chapman. That's who it was.
Explains a lot.
Explains a lot.
My dad, I remember one time I came to him when I had a bunch of problems with religion and I was all freaked out about the nature of the universe. And is there a hell and is there a heaven? And if there is a hell, how could a just God visit something like that on his creations? And my dad just went, well, you don't want to be a downer. What? That's it? So I'm not only going to hell, but I'm also bumming everybody out. Okay, great.
That's amazing that you had that conversation. And I am not lying when I say this. Here's the average conversation I have with my dad. Is there bread left? Ask your mother. It's about as deep as we get. I bet you know who that is. It's everyone's favorite 150-foot-tall radioactive reptile, Godzilla. Or Gojira, as he is known in his native Japan. Gojira being a combination of the Japanese words for gorilla and whale. Which in America describes anyone on the show Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, I said it.
Now, in America, when you say Godzilla, it conjures images of a guy in a droopy rubber suit fighting another guy in a droopy rubber suit over a miniature model of Tokyo. But the original Japanese version of Godzilla is what we're talking about. Americans consider the original Godzilla to be 1954's Godzilla, King of the Monsters, starring of all people Raymond Burr as Steve Martin. A wild and crazy American reporter visiting Tokyo just in time to watch it destroyed. although that movie contains footage from the original, it cannot compare. The original is called Gojira, and it has an all-Japanese cast in a gritty, black-and-white, downbeat, post-nuclear tragedy. The film has a lot more in common with On the Beach or Failsafe than it does with later movies like Godzilla vs. Megalon. In 1953, a Japanese film producer named Tomoyaki Tanaka was inspired by the Lucky Dragon No. 5 incident, in which a small Japanese tuna boat strayed too close to an American nuclear test in the Marshall Islands, giving its entire crew radiation poisoning. From there, he spun a tale of a long extinct creature resuscitated from its watery grave by nuclear testing. The theme of the film is nuclear anxiety, with the after effects of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki blasts soaking up every frame. People in the film are always comparing Godzilla's raids to the nuclear attack, and in one exceptionally creepy scene, a young woman huddles against the wall of her building with her young child. As Godzilla is heard approaching, she holds her close and says, "It's okay, dear. We'll see Daddy in heaven soon." Godzilla went on to become, of course, not only a hit, but a Japanese cultural icon, right up there with Americans' Batman or Mickey Mouse. In sequel after sequel, Godzilla went from being a dark vision of a nuclear nightmare to something of a superhero himself. In 1971's Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster, he fought pollution. But his cultural influence is undeniable, especially in Japan. In 1996, Sony forked over a ton of dough to make the first American-made Godzilla movie, directed by the Independence Day team of Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich. The film starred Matthew Broderick and was queued up to be the big blockbuster of that summer. That honor, of course, went to Saving Private Ryan. Not too surprisingly, the Sony remake of Godzilla was as bad as the original Gojira was great. And while the average moviegoers were disappointed, Godzilla fans were outraged. In the June 1998 issue of G-Fan, the official Godzilla fan magazine, editor and publisher J.D. Lees voiced fans' anger. Beneath the banner headline, Fraudzilla, Mr. Lee writes, "I want to mention one area where I feel the filmmakers went badly off track. The Godzilla designers and creators took great pains to present Godzilla as a real animal, and in this, they succeeded admirably. But in doing so, they betrayed a huge misunderstanding about monsters in general, and Godzilla in particular. Steven Spielberg made the point in Jurassic Park that the dinos were not monsters, but really just animals, and he was correct to do this, but Godzilla is not just an animal. He really is a monster. So he should not behave like an animal. He should behave like a monster. He should not run from the army, but attack it. He should not dodge around buildings, but plow through them. Real animals can't spew a radioactive ray from their mouths, but fantasy monsters can. By trying to ground their creature so firmly in realism, the folks at Sony destroyed the very essence of what makes Godzilla special. No one would ever consider Sony's Godzilla King of the Monsters." Now, if Mr. Devlin wants to start building a positive relationship with Godzilla fans, I welcome that. My goal, as always, is to positively promote Godzilla and the kaiju genre, keeping the spark of imagination glowing bright in all of our hearts. Together we've passed another milestone. Let's take heart in the public's new and increased Godzilla awareness and look forward to better things ahead. Now, say you want to raise your own Godzilla awareness. and watch the original Gojira, which is actually very good. I highly recommend it. Why not go to the main page at danagould.com, click on our Amazon banner. You can get Gojira, or anything you want for that matter. You pay not one dime extra, but Amazon sends a little bit back to us, where we can, as they say, keep the lights on. Consider us, won't you? Won't you? Won't you? I'm beyond the point where I get mad at the news. You know, I know people that are just like obsessed with the news. They watch Fox, they watch MSNBC. Most of our friends watch MSNBC. And they just, I can't believe what the Republicans did. This 45,000 tweets.
Right.
I saw a video.
It looks like their tweets wouldn't make any sense if that's how they're tweeting.
Oh, Dennis Chip is tweeting again.
He must be mad about the news again.
The person that I am actually speaking of is a quarter of an inch tall. So he has to. Excellent visual joke.
You gotta love those visual podcasts.
Exactly.
Jokes.
I'm also doing pick a card.
He's right.
It is a card. But see, here's my theory. Things aren't supposed to work out. Have you ever seen the video? There's a video. I saw a video on YouTube.
When God opens and closes a door, he knocks down the house.
Yeah. When God closes a door, he opens a window. Sounds like somebody's pooping. Then God lights a match and waits until no one's around, sneaks out of the room, and then pretends it's not him. There's a video I saw on YouTube. I'm going to get this out. A python ate an alligator.
Wait, what? This is a video of that on YouTube.
And then the alligator burst out the python's side.
This is like a trailer for the new Jason Statham movie or something. It's him. He's the
alligator. Instead of an alligator, it's me. And instead of a python, it's vulnerability. Yeah. And it's the past 18 years of my life. No. So the python dies and the alligator is also dead because it suffocated. But the python's musculature was not able to sustain the mass of the alligator. And
sounds
it eventually,
like it needed to do some Pilates.
Exactly. Burst out of its side. That's nature. There's no interference by man, just random carnage and murder.
Oh, clearly that snake's eyes were bigger than its entire body.
Absolutely. The snake was clearly stoned.
Yeah.
How quickly did this, like, the alligator's just chilling while this is like, not fighting off the snake?
Well,
at
no,
all?
A snake.
It's just like, okay, I guess this is happening. Like, it's not fighting back.
No, stop. Don't eat me. Oh,
I am not going to go over the feeding habits of a python with you again.
Just like, how quickly can that
the
happen?
The alligator was dead because the python suffocated it. No, right. it didn't bite it.
Like Venom style.
No!
I'm not a zoologist.
Don't you know how...
I only know about cartoon animals' boners, not like real habits of real
it's
animals.
It's called a boa constrictor because it tightens around the alligator and the alligator
Yeah, not a
breathe.
Boner constrictor.
Then April. I don't know. If boners aren't involved, I'm not interested.
April's the only boner constrictor I know.
That's what?
Oh. I don't even know what that means. Here's my point. Alligator, just doing what comes naturally. Boa constrictor, doing what comes naturally. They both kill each other. And it's a complete waste. That's how the world works.
I'm sorry.
Unfettered by man, it's just an endless cycle of carnage and death.
So wait.
Things aren't supposed to work out. So just relax.
So
we live in a world where cats kill rats, dogs kill cats, alligators burst out of the side of snakes that eat them. People feel bad because the dog's in the pound because it got caught killing a cat, so they adopt the dog. And on the way home with the dog, they get killed by a guy in a truck who ran a red light because he was texting his wife that he loved her. Nothing is supposed to work out well. Just chill out.
Hey, Dana, so you're getting a divorce, right?
Yes. Or as I call it, riding the lightning. I now have so much of the bed to myself. I have a whole side of my bed, just space for my pain. No, but it's just like shit. Every major fear I had in my life, I have lived through this year. Still here. Shit happens. We're going to default. The government's broken. Rocks will fall out of the sky. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
You got to take the long view. The poles are going to reverse and the earth will crack like an egg.
But what can we do about it? We can't do anything about it.
No. You can just do your best. Live your life as best you can. But don't get all upset. I'm not using this because I do the impression of it. But like, you can't be Chris Matthews. You just can't get flipped out. I'm not going to do it.
Don't we want him to see him do it? No, we want him to see.
Here's the thing. Here's the problem. This news just came in. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Now, why do people's brains do that, first of all? Why the killers? They're always on the road. You never see a killer. He's never at Pier 9. He's never at Pier 39 by a wicker basket. The killers are always on the highway. They never just like, you never see a killer at Crate and Barrel buying one of those laundry carts.
Hey, Chris, we got to go to karaoke. Your favorite Door song is on.
Really? I'd rather sing Smash Mouth. What are the sounds of silence? There can't be sounds of silence. I've been singing this for years. It doesn't make any sense. I wish I hadn't done the Kiss bit in the Two Guys from Boston. That would have gone great right now.
Hey, you know what? This is your podcast. You can edit it so you don't.
Editing a podcast? That's insane. It's just disposable entertainment. But yeah, I don't. You can't get that. It's like when you look at the animal kingdom and things. It's just carnage. It's always carnage.
Well, it's just, you know, there's the things where you watch like the Trials of Life videos or the you know, any of those kind of nature docs, and you see like you're watching like penguins running away from, you know, seals or whatever, and like you're like, no, get away, and then like you're like, you fucking shithead seal. And then, like, the next scene is, like, a seal being chased by a shark. You're like, oh, that cute seal. Oh, get away, you dumbass shark.
Right.
It's like you're always going to cheer for whoever's getting fucking eaten.
Right. Or who's the cutest. Like, I didn't really feel bad for the crocodile getting strangled by the snake. Although I fucking hate snakes so fucking much. If they're reptilian, you can, like, you know, but seals, you think seals are cute. It doesn't. It's... as the planet becomes more populated, I think people are just gonna. We're gonna find a way to get rid of a lot of people, I think.
Do you think a new plague is gonna come rear its head?
It's inevitable. Bird flu or something. Yeah. It's an inevitability. You can't. The math doesn't work. The math doesn't work. It's unsustainable. I'm talking about hundreds of years.
Well, yeah, there's got to be an epic.
You're
not about to murder us? Is that it?
I didn't say that.
Sounds like where it was going.
Hope you're enjoying your Steve.
Two different things. But yeah, no, I listen to the news. I just don't, because I remember being furious about shit in my 20s that I don't remember now. It couldn't have been that big of a deal.
No.
You know.
The world didn't end.
No, it's I think people like in the Cowboys are like, can you believe they got a building in Baltimore that's 5 stories tall? World's gonna fucking end tomorrow.
Tower of Babel all over again.
Yeah.
Why do cowboys talk like this? Why will they talk like this?
From all the dick they suck.
Yeah. That's why they have mustache and chaps. Right. By the way, there's no such thing as assless chaps. Chaps are assless. It's the nature of chaps. Where do gay people get chaps? Where do they go? They go to, I don't know, Billings, Montana? What's a town where gay people have to go to buy chaps?
Beautiful.
Doesn't make sense. They just took cowboy clothes.
I'm done. Nicest things my mother ever did. My childhood hero, psychologists. I'm beyond psychologists now. I'm into scientists. I don't go to a shrink now. I go to a research laboratory.
Why is Dana in a super collider?
That's our new fucked upometer. We're measuring how fucked up he is. If he gets any more fucked up, he's going to create a black hole and the earth will eat itself. A psychiatrist would have a field day with this. My childhood hero was the Wolfman.
Me too.
Yeah. How odd. A man who does things he can't control and then is overwhelmed with shame. Nothing to do with me. And I really wanted a Wolfman mask to wear for Halloween, and they didn't have one in my hometown. So my mother bought one of those. You know the masks? They're sort of like the Guy Fawkes mask. It was just like a guy's face, kind of barely
see-through. A little bit opaque. Or not opaque, but
pretty creepy, actually.
Yeah, really odd.
Yeah, really creepy. My mom bought one of those and painted it brown and cut up the fake fur collar of her coat and made me a Wolfman mask and stuck fangs in it for Halloween.
Yeah.
That was like one of the last that was really cool. I'll never forget that. And because your Halloween costume was so important.
Yeah.
Like my kids now, it's so important to them. Like, what are we going to be? And my four-year-old is like, I think I'm going to be Ariel. really determined.
Oh, like, she's going to be Ariel? Damn.
Yeah. They're very,
I'm not going to that party.
And I'm like, sure you don't want to be zombie Ariel? You sure you don't want to? Ariel with a head wound? Something exciting?
Breaking Bad Ariel.
Yeah. Yeah, that is going to be the big one this year. Is going to be everybody's going to be Walter White. Or Gus. All the old Two-Face costumes are now going to be Gus costumes. But here's
I'm going to be the chicken.
Well, here's a costume that is going to be all over the goddamn place in the Halloween costume stores and not on the streets. Because I went to the Spirit Halloween store when I saw that it had opened. I just went in to touch fake blood and feel
clean again.
Feel clean again. Johnny Depp as Tonto costumes. Those things are going to be all over the place like gypsy moths,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things, they're going to try to read. No, yeah. It's Pale Crowhead. It's a fictional character, not in a bad movie.
Paula Dean shit is selling faster.
That is not going over well.
That movie was so horrible.
I did not see that movie. I don't have time to see movies I know are going to be bad.
No, you did a good thing.
We used to do that.
That movie wouldn't even make a good Vine. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't even have that much footage.
Yeah. And I swear it probably cost all in like $220, $230 million. Oh, yeah. And I'm convinced it came from Johnny Depp going, I want to wear a crow on my head. Find a movie where I can wear a crow on my head. We're going to remake Kramer versus Kramer. What if she leaves him because he has a crow on his head? Is there a low budget version of this? Like, you know. Talk radio. You're a DJ with a crow on your head, and you're all by yourself.
Well, it'll be the trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're stuck. The phone booth. We're going to remake the phone booth, but you have a crow on your head. That's how they kill you. No, no. We have to blow up the Grand Canyon. That's the only way to do it. And then you get, and because well, we were talking earlier about like one of the great things they do in LA is they have this the Hollywood Forever Cemetery runs movies. We have a program called Cinespia. Well, we called it Cinespia, and then people started calling it Chinespia, and then I stopped going. If you are going to get arrogant about a free movie shown against a mausoleum wall, I don't have time for you. But that's what they do, and I think they're showing Halloween.
Great.
Come Halloween. So that's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And that's, you know, for kids that grew up like nerdy and monster movie kids, Halloween is like that. It's like October really is the one month where all the stuff that you like wins.
Yes.
You know, everything that you like is out there. Yeah. You know, it's
my Christmas.
It is. It is my. Yeah. It's like it's my Christmas. And so what? Well, what is your do you have a favorite horror movie? Are there movies that you tend to watch every October leading up to Halloween to kind of get you in the mood?
Yeah, there's. I mean, because
the mood for Halloween.
What's that?
Let me be very specific. Nothing from private studios.
Oh, I like to watch Fame.
What's more scarier than when Coco cries?
Yeah. Which, by the way, if I may comment on that scene, we've all seen the movie Fame, yes?
And when we all want to live forever, so
yes,
sure.
Of course. Right. But when they do that scene where the guy's filming her, and she's showing her, and I'm like, oh, so I guess they're filming this footage for that series of 1X porn films called Sad Sacks, or, you know, like what the fuck? What series is this for?
Yes.
Just the lone crying lady. Oh, yeah, we saw her breasts.
If they could cry, they wouldn't be in porn. Yeah. They're in porn because they can't cry anymore.
Yeah. She just felt something, yes, and someone lost their boner. That's how it works.
Do furries... Where do the people who work at Disneyland in those suits come in?
And who do they come in?
I think that's obvious. Dopey.
I don't...
That motherfucker just takes it in the face!
Dopey's only dopey because he's cum drunk. Oh, sorry. Did I set off a truth bomb?
I do not know how to follow
Dopey,
that in any way.
I'm surprised that Dopey has not gotten grief. The character of this is okay. No,
you
this
have
is
further to
this
go
is true.
Drunk?
This is true.
Where else can it go?
I was at Disneyland with my family.
Okay.
And there was Goofy, and he greets people. And in this group, in this family group, there was someone mentally challenged. And unless I'm mistaken, when he got to Goofy, Goofy kind of downplayed it a little bit. Hello, how are you? Hey, nice to see you. Nice to see you. You must be Janice. How are you, Ted?
Jesus.
How are you? Did you check out Lollipop Forest? It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a land of wonder. It's a land of wonder. I look, Goofy leaning in. I get you.
I can't believe her name was Janice. So weird.
Janice is the normal sister. So he could Goofy it. Hey, and then, how are you? Just finger pistols.
Finger pistols.
We're good, right? You and I, we're good. You get. This is just a gig for me. No, nothing personal.
You really think Goofy is supposed to be?
If I was Goofy,
I would feel weird in that situation.
But Goofy is fine. He has his job. He goes skiing sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of mishaps, sure. But
sure.
That could
don't
be
get me started when
dog.
You try to go to the beach. Ew. Yeah.
Look, Goofy...
For a dog, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
For a dog, he manages to stay inside grotesquely oversized pants with the simplest of suspenders. That, by the way, is like something you'd find in Sky Mall. Dog pants with suspenders. I need those. And a golf ball washer. You know what's a terrible horror movie that I still am in the weird habit of watching in October?
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
Okay.
Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula.
It is horrible. However, it is beautiful at the same time.
Yes. I watch
visually
it,
stunning.
I watch it with the sound off.
Yes.
Unless Tom Waits is on, and then I turn it up.
Yeah. I turn the sound
off. Because it's irrelevant anyway when he's talking.
Yeah.
Because it's just like somebody barking at you.
I turn the sound down and I just play Hello Dummy by Don Rickles.
By Don Rickles, yeah. Well, it's funny. Do you all know what a bukkake video is? They're horrific and they'll take time.
Wait a minute. Is this the Christmas episode now?
You peeked at my list. they're horrific and... But if you, they're not as, they won't take as much time off your life if when you watch them, you turn down the sound and play, I see trees of green, red roses too. talk about horror.
Yeah.
Talk about horror. The real horror is so much worse than the fake horror.
Yes.
And I would put that into that category.
A bukkake film.
And anything like that. And I'm not trying to be prudish because Lord knows I'm a degenerate. But one of the things that I think internet access does is that the spiral is so accelerated now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could, you start off looking at topless women, and then 2 hours later, you can be like albinos in elk masks.
That is a great site, by the way.
Yeah, and you just spiral down so quickly, and the bar gets set so low, and then people adapt so quickly. Have you ever seen like a dog with three legs?
Yes,
and it just will whip its tail around and go, and the dog just like, okay, no, I've adapted.
Mm-hmm.
I have three legs now. I'm good. I think that's what happens with every time humanity finds a new bar lower. We take about a week and then, oh, that's what's normal now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
I have to blow a deer. Yeah,
it's sort of like the ending of Shaun of the Dead. Whereas I don't know if you've seen the movie Shaun of the Dead, but at the end of Shaun of the Dead, I think it's a great ending because the zombies don't ruin everything. We co-opt the zombies and put them into our popular culture and everything mm-hmm. else. And yeah, we're all that's all in the past now.
Yeah.
We've all caught up.
Fun little inside showbiz story.
Oh, boy. Let me get that name. Okay. There we go.
No, I won't say the name, but there was a time when a friend of mine was going to rewrite Mars Attacks and suggested that they take over the world at the end of the second act, and then the third act was just us being annoyed that they ignored us.
That's a great idea.
Right. And
that's actually genuinely funny.
Right. And my friend said, and then Tim Burton did this. He got up and walked out, and a woman came in 10 minutes later and said, Tim went home.
Wow.
Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula has, and you often wonder, like, you watch a movie that they spent so much money on, and you go, and you just see something, and you go, really? You went with that? You're gonna go, okay. And there's a lot of, like, when you look at Keanu Reeves in that movie, you think, no one ever said, wait a minute, he's horrible. Can we loop him at least?
But no, wait a minute. That's a very good point for what you were just talking about, how, you know, we get socked down and socked down lower in degradation, that we sort of become accustomed to it, and now that's the new norm. I'm sure that's what happened on the set with Keanu Reeves. Like, I'm sure he was, like, way more horrible than that. And, you know, he was like, hello, 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 doing, like, a shitty Cockney accent. And
Corporal, I'm here, governor. Talked like the Beatles. I am going to Transylvania now.
Yeah. And finally, they went, oh, wow, that's actually almost right. So, yeah.
That's not, that doesn't make my asshole pucker.
Yeah.
There was a movie recently that I saw, and I forget what it was, but I was like, really? You're going with that? It might have been the end of Elysium. The whole thing was just about getting health care to people. The whole thing was about Obamacare.
Fucking Obamacare, yeah. Yeah, I always think, like, what, you know, really? This could have been fixed with maybe another 10 minutes on the script.
Well, I remember the horrible James Bond movie, The World Is Not Enough, which is really horrible. And it's one of those movies that when I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to think of 2.5 hours. I could have been outside. The world is not enough. Ah!
You don't want to go there. Yeah, man. No. That's a lot of movies.
I know. Believe me. Every Pierce Brosnan Bond movie. but the first one. And this one thing where the guy goes, I'm Mr. Kill. And he goes, there's a name to die for. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Take 5 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are you transcribing a Dixie Riddle cup? You know?
Can I talk about Disney World really fast?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Disney World?
I have recently.
Because
I'm a single dad and I overcompensate.
Wait, so you took him all the way to Disney World in Florida?
I did take him to Disneyland. Mm.
Okay, well, because Disney World, I don't know if you guys know, has Epcot Center, which has, like, fake versions of all the countries.
Yeah. Epcot Center, which will show you the miraculous world
future
of the future
of 1990
that we thought would be in 1972.
Yeah. Well, your story of going there with family reminded me, well, because I'm also divorced. Hold your applause. And
how long were you guys married?
We were married for 5 years. And it's fine.
Sounds like
we're
a
friends.
Tough one.
No, it was. I was 20.
How many kids did you have?
I was 23 when I got married. So
and you had
it
how
doesn't
many
count
children
really.
With this person?
Zero children.
No, okay.
Don't be crazy.
No kids. 5 years.
Yeah. But.
Boo-hoo! Hang on, I'm gonna
that
cry.
That says the story.
Bahoo. No, I guess it would be Bahoo Hahu. I'm sorry. Go ahead, dear.
No, it's okay. It's not that great of a story now.
No, it is.
Build up at all. But my ex.
You're good enough.
I don't even know how snakes work. Like, I clearly should not be talking into a microphone.
You're confused
in front
by
of
snakes
people.
And magnets.
Yeah, I'm like,
clearly,
how did
the
work?
Alligator was dead because the snake punched him out.
I just thought it, like, got him on it and started eating. And, like, the alligator's just like, oh, I guess this is it. Like, it didn't
Yeah, the
back.
Alligator just does this.
Yeah, like, just was instantly defeated. And I'm like, well, you have time to get away. Disney World. My ex-in-laws went to Disney World all the time. All the time. And they had zero children with them. No grandkids.
Oh, yeah, that's
two
creepy.
Two grown-ass adults who went to Disney World, like, 6 or 7 times a year. And, specifically Epcot Center, and would call all the time and be like, hey, we're in Germany. Hey, we're in Italy. And they weren't.
And
they were in Orlando, Florida. Right. But, like, for real, thought that was an acceptable substitute.
They thought that was enough.
Yeah, and we got in an argument.
You know? Yeah, we're in Paris. What are you having? Mac and cheese.
But that was the thing. Exactly.
And a Sprite.
We actually got in an argument about it once because I kind of, and this was, you know, towards the end when it was just like, I know this is over so I can yell at these people.
Yeah, right.
I won't be related to them much longer.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to hold back.
When you did get you to say that point, on the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
Well, no,
when you get to that point in your marriage, good morning, don't tell me how to live my life.
Well, no, I mean, I feel kind of bummed like telling this because my ex-husband is actually a good friend. He's a great dude, but whatever. So we were having dinner.
Is he here?
And he's not here, but he could hear this. So sorry. But we were having dinner in an Italian restaurant, and they were like, this is the best food we've had since we've been to Italy. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So
Are
I was
from
like,
Florida?
You haven't been to Italy.
Are they from Florida?
No, they're actually from Chicago.
Really?
And were they talking about a buca di Beppo?
They were like, Sparrow, right, guys? No, but so they're eating this, and they say that with a totally straight face. And I was like, oh, what? You've never left the country. And then they were like, no, but it's just like it. It's so accurate. It's just like it. And I was like, okay. You know, I've actually been to Italy, and it's not. They don't have, like, guys in mouse costumes on the corner signing autographs for eight-year-olds. Or... you know, dudes with handlebar mustaches constantly tossing pizza dough over their heads. Because Epcot Center is like the most antiquated stereotype of all
the
things.
It is literally the state of the art of the view of the world.
Yeah, but they thought it was an acceptable substitute. And then so I was like, that's crazy. And then his mom was like, I go, you know, all the money you spend going to Disney World 800 times a year, you could actually go to Italy or Japan or Germany. And his mom said, why would we do that when we know Disney World is clean and safe?
Oh.
And I was like, holy crap. And then we kind of argued a little more. And the argument ended with her yelling at me, Disney World is a magical place. And she's
awesome.
Like in her 60s. Yeah.
Disney World is a magical place. You
That's how it ended. That's how it ended.
That's fantastic.
And then we got divorced. Right.
It's also a magical place now where the obese and my favorite group of Americans, the super obese. take all of the carts and scooters that were put there for the handicapped. But because of the Americans with Disabilities Act, the people who rent them are not legally allowed to say, are you really handicapped?
Oh.
Or are you just a load? and they...
A load.
And I'll say this. It's hard to eat healthy. Eating healthy is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a limited budget, food that you tend
especially
to eat.
Especially if you're eating $100 bills.
Because the way they can
fiber.
Well, the way they can tell if it's a real $100, you know when you give somebody a $100 bill and they hold it up to the light? It's because inside there's a stick of butter. That's why I always throw it into my popcorn. these big, large barges in charge show up and take all the handicap scooters and tool around Disney World.
So we should kill them.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
They're doing a good job with them.
And the handicap people are then forced to crawl around.
Well.
And the reason they don't use their wheelchair, no outside wheelchairs.
Is that a real thing?
No.
Oh.
But it would be awesome if we just... If there's no scooter here, you gotta crawl.
yuck! You can't use your normal Mickey Mouse wheelchair.
That's right. And they have a Goofy in a wheelchair. It's like, how's it going?
How's it going?
Yeah, nice to see you.
I love that idea of like not it being to compensate for the mentally challenged guy, but just being smooth Goofy. What's
smooth
up, ladies?
Goofy.
Hey, like
that's actually a dress code.
Is there any other?
It's right
guy?
After smooth criminal.
Isn't it tux?
Smooth,
hey.
Dress code, smooth.
Goofy
goofy.
After hours.
Yeah. Yeah, big shoes, big pants with a bad homemade patch.
Right.
Yeah. You have to keep the patch on with only 6 stitches.
Yeah.
And
he just rolls up to a girl's like, yo, you want to join the goof troop?
Totally.
Who's that hot motherfucking dude in the oversized white gloves?
Smooth. You want to film a goofy movie?
I just finished reading In the Velociraptor's Nest, and now I'm going to... I'm going to
read... I actually do want to read
now I'm
going to
read
books.
In Goofy's Fishing Cabin.
Yahoo-hoo-hooey.
Do they have Pluto at Disney World or Disneyland? Like, do they have, like, something in a Pluto costume walking around?
Yeah, sure.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen him. It's not, like, to be funny. I just was wondering. I've never seen Pluto walking around there.
Yeah.
You have a one-item bucket list. I know what. My bucket list has one item. Live longer. Don't die yet.
Mine is now read all these dinosaur books. That's mine.
Yeah, I bet you wouldn't have to read
all of them.
All of
you'll
them.
Get it from one of them.
Yeah,
you'll get the gist of it, yeah.
Dino-ratica.
I bet getting boned by a triceratops is very similar to getting boned by a T-Rex. Do they have wings? I guess they had to have something.
What?
Do they have dicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, right?
I think dinosaurs had, what is that called? Cloacas or what? Cloacas? You know, like birds?
Cloacas?
Yeah, those holes that birds have, and they like have sex with it and they shit out of it and have babies with it, and like it has like a Roth IRA. I mean, it's like everything all around.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think they had any genitals because God created them and then he got rid of them.
It's a good, it's a solid
God
point.
Created them 300 years ago.
Yeah. Jesus riding a brontosaurus.
He could have. He didn't need to because he was magic.
Yeah, he would fly everywhere.
He was the bearded wizard before Merlin. Have you seen the Jesus walking around Los Angeles?
Yeah. Brody hangs out. Brody Stevens hangs out with that guy.
Hang on a minute.
I think he lives on my street.
Does he have a lot of Jesus? Has anybody seen him? Does he have a closet full of Jesus clothes, or does he also
every
have,
time
like,
I've seen him, he has been walking around in the robe and sandals.
Right, is it the same one, or does he have like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Like it's written inside like his underwear. I don't know. I'm not super tight with him. I just walk by him sometimes in my hood.
And did he have a sweatsuit? Does he have like a sweatsuit?
A tracksuit.
Yeah, full Brillstein.
Totally.
What neighborhood is he in?
West Hollywood.
I haven't seen him either. I haven't seen the Jesus. I haven't seen Pluto. What kind of life am I living?
Very sheltered.
It's funny. Yeah. I've seen Pluto in West Hollywood and Jesus at Disneyland. That's my sense of fucking wonder. There was, speaking of Goofy feeling awkward around the mentally handicapped.
Sure.
There was in the 50s, and I wasn't alive then, before you make a grandpa joke.
All right, grandpa, it's cool.
I was being schemed. There was a comedian named Frankie Fontaine. And Frankie Fontaine was on the Jackie Gleason show. And he basically played a spaz. If you watch YouTube, Frankie Fontaine, he was Songbird, and like they had these, Jackie Gleason played a bartender in these sketches, and this was Frankie Fontaine's like, dang, Mr. Gleason.
Oh, damn.
Oh.
And yeah, he literally, I was saying, like, he could not do that today.
You know, on the same...
And back then, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Today it'd be hilarious.
On the same tip, I just recently rewatched that music video for Taco's Putting on the Ritz, which, by the way, is horrifying. It remains horrifying as it was when I was like 8 or whatever. But there is an uncut version where he's in blackface.
Oh.
Straight up blackface, like with a cane and jolting it up.
But
and it's like, okay,
because
he's Dutch.
In his defense, he's where Rockefellers walk with sticks. Putting on the Ritz. Putting on the Ritz. Dressed up like a million. It's impossible. The straightest man on earth could not sing that song.
No.
You know, it's like, who would that be?
I also found out Taco is his real name.
No, I'm kidding. But even like Sterling Hayden, come and sit where Rockefellers rock with sticks and umbrellas. And
he can't do it.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
But you end the song by blowing a dude.
Super duper.
Clever girl. Don't ever say that to a girl that's blowing you. Clever girl. End of blowjob. End of blowjob. My favorite poem by E.E. Cummings. It was the one he wrote just before The Wasteland. End of blowjob. It's about the sad moments towards the end of a blowjob.
The sad moments?
I was about to say, what are they? Just
well,
that it's about to end?
When you're a British poet.
Okay,
I think there's a bit of pre-orgasm melancholy that all Brits feel.
Pre-orgasm melancholy is my favorite Smashing Pumpkins right here.
Uh-huh. I do think it's odd that at a moment that is supposedly pure pleasure, you look and sound horrible.
That's what you turn into a toddler during a tantrum.
Yeah.
It's like right when you start coming, you just start drawing with crayon on the walls.
You don't?
That's why I don't like seeing people run. because I feel like their run face is the same as, like, you know, because they're all like, you know, like, oh, I'm like, gross.
And the, and you know? The dogs with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just constantly like, going, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Crying.
I'm not really in Smash Mouth. I'm not really Willie Nelson. we'll wrap on this. Here's a cute joke along these lines, and we'll wrap on this. Thank you all. Thank you all for being here tonight. There's a guy and his wife, and they've been married for 65 years. They're 90. They got married when they were 90 100? Minus 65.
Yeah. Ah, oh, that age.
25. And the woman has never blown the guy. So it's his birthday, 90th birthday. And she goes, what do you want for your birthday? And he goes, you know what I want. She goes, nope, not my style. He's like, please, what? How many years do I have left? She's like, I just don't like doing it. I've never done it. It's gross. I don't want to do it. She says, fine, then don't get me anything. It's the only thing I want. If you're not going to give it to me, forget it. She goes, oh, God. If I do it, you can't ask for another one ever. This is the one time I'm going to do it. He goes, fine. So she gives him a blowjob. It's great.
And
wait, there's more. They're sitting there. It's kind of awkward. She feels horrible. The phone rings. He picks it up and goes, hello? It's for you, cocksucker. But tell me some of your, like, if people are going to listen to this podcast, get some Halloween movie ideas.
Well,
not the ones that you'll think.
Yeah, I'm not going to go like The Exorcist.
Dracula.
Those are, yeah. No.
Actually, Bela Lugosi's Dracula. Boring.
Yeah. No, I'd agree.
First 10 or 15 minutes are great, although he's in the middle of Transylvania and Dracula's castle has an armadillo in it. But so what?
Well, it escaped from the Tex-Mex restaurant that
exactly.
Was down the street.
I'm Mr. Enfield. Howdy! yeah, what are some good ones that we can recommend to the nice people at home?
Well, if we're not going to go down like sort of what everyone agrees is the great ones, I would say...
Well,
like,
give me your opinion of what are the great ones.
Well, for me, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is fantastic.
Okay.
That is like one of my top 10 films of all time. It's totally horrifying. There's actually very little blood. And it is like it's like you're experiencing that whole horrific nightmare yourself. And like, especially when they have that scene where Leatherface is with the girl and they're all at the dinner table and they're like, ah! And I'm like, fuck it. I am living this. And it's right. Terrifying.
Right.
And
interesting, yeah. The noise of a chainsaw just evokes a biological
yes, yeah.
Much like hearing, are you my boyfriend now? Yeah.
We got to make that movie.
I'm still here. You said they were going to tow my car. Okay, so Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I would option with Carnival of Souls.
Okay, so you're going back a little bit. Yeah.
I have eclectic taste.
No, that's fine. That's a great movie.
Never seen Carnival of Souls.
Fantastic.
Pre-dated Night of the Living Dead.
That's right.
But very similar.
Borrowed a lot of sort of image. Well, the Night of the Living Dead borrowed imagery
right,
from that movie.
Carnival of Souls. Great movie. Made in 1962. If you can rent it, it's really terrific. I highly recommend it. Carnival of Souls.
Yeah. I also here's a real weird one. It's called Who Can Kill a Child? And it's horrifying. And it's all about this couple that goes to this island, like a off the coast of Spain. And on this island, all the kids have – something's happened with their brain, and they're now murdering everybody. And they use real kids, and it is horrifying and a very interesting ending. I don't want to give it away, but it's animated. No, that's not true.
But at the end, they're saved by Woody and Buzz.
Yes.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go out of the horror genre. Just recommendations to get you in a Halloween sort of frame of mind. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Oh, hear, hear. Yes. One of the greatest comedies of all time.
One of the greatest comedies of all time. I know, people. Everybody has the same. If they've never seen it and you tell them it, people look at you as if they've just realized that wasn't quite a fart. That there's a loose Skittle.
I have that on 16mm.
It
have,
is, yeah. Again, avalanche of pussy. No wonder.
That's usually my first line.
Yeah, yeah. I have the Ghost of Mr. Chicken on 16mm. Don't take your pants off here! it's so funny. It was the first movie he made when he... I think it was the first movie he made. One of the first films he made when Don Knotts left the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
It's sort of set in a town based like Mayberry. It's based in a fictional town or a real town called Rachel, Kansas. And Don Knotts plays a small-town reporter that goes into a haunted house for the night. And it is... there. You know, you can count the successful like horror comedies... the ones that work on one hand or two hands at the most. There are very, very few of them. This is absolutely one of them. The stuff in it that's scary if you're a kid is really scary.
Yeah, the haunted house stuff is actually genuinely spooky.
Genuinely spooky, and it's just hilarious and beautiful and completely wholesome. There's nothing wrong. Any kid can watch it.
Do a if you can do
I'm trying to think of like... at one point, he goes into the this is my favorite line from the movie, and it goes with this. He goes into this haunted house, and we got to wrap this up. He goes into a haunted house. There was a murder committed in the house. The murderer is reenacted by spirits the night he's in there. He's horrified, and he goes out, and he's talking about the night in the house, and his friend goes, "Just try to stay calm." And he goes, "Calm? Calm? Do calm and murder go together? Murder and calm, calm and murder." And
murder?
Murder! Blood on the keys. Shears in the throat. And
do haunted houses frighten you at all?
On Mars, I met Don Knotts at a autograph kind of thing. You might have been with me, actually. And I had him sign at a poster, and I said, "Could you please sign this, 'Do calm and murder go together?'" And he goes, "Was that a line from the movie?"
Oh.
I know. Yes. You fucking idiot. I would say The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, and try to watch Plan 9 from Outer Space, and of course, Ed Wood. And Matt, wrap it up with your recommendations, and then we'll all relax to the thundering bass lines of Pear Ubu.
Well, I mean, if we're talking horror comedies, you got to go with the granddaddy of them all, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Yes.
Absolutely. And of course, if we're looking at the zombie genre. Every Halloween you have to watch the original Night of the Living Dead. It's still horrifying, scary, and subtle.
Yes. And also one last horror comedy recommendation.
Please.
And then we'll say goodnight and a thank you to everyone here at the Comedy Attic and the good people of the beautiful city of Bloomington, Indiana, including your mayor, who I know you all hate. But is really a nice guy, and he said
he's really funny.
He was here the other night, and somebody heckled him about the parking meters, and he said, "Parking meters, no! The living will envy the dead."
Hilarious! Great,
yeah. He won my vote. An American Werewolf in London. Can't go wrong.
Great, brilliant John Landis movie.
Thank you very much for coming down.
Spider Baby. Jack Hill.
Spider Baby.
Woo!
And Lon Chaney Jr., a living testament.
I want you to love me.
Lon Chaney Jr., a living testament to the preserving qualities of massive alcohol absorption. Speaking of mythical creatures, the lovely and talented Hannah Gansen is going to...
I thought you meant I was a mythological creature.
No.
I'm a transgendered centaur. I don't know.
Why transgendered?
Because I have a song about that.
Is that the song you're going to play for us?
No, I'm in a different one.
What are you going to do?
This one is about somebody that has it worse than you. Scary for the season.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Is it hip hop? Because as a Halloween dude,
oh, no,
I can totally
hip-hop.
Get behind it. Does it sound like Sublime? With a mix of Smash Mouth. What?
Why wham?
Sam.
Anyway, this is a song about someone that has it worse than you. You don't want somebody that doesn't want you. And it's kind of hard to do when the unwanted person is you. It's true, but through the watery world I roam, beneath the seaweed and the foam, searching for someone to love me. Yeah. I'm not entirely human, I know that sounds fishy. And I mean it literally, because I'm a mermaid and nobody wants to kiss me. Not because of my scales or skin or tails or fin, please holding it in a lap. It's because of my upper half, because I'm a butterfish mermaid. Yeah, that's the case. Unfortunately for me, I got an ugly face. And instead of having an ass, I resemble a bass below my waist. Pity me, I'm a mermaid with a butter face. Sometimes I wonder if I'd be better off instead if my bottom half was human with legs and I had a fish head. I swim past the fishermen boats in the hopes that when they look in their scopes, I don't really look all that bad. But as they approach and they get a better view, that's enough. They put their nets away and they pull their anchors up. Yeah, I don't want to walk the plank. I want someone to give my fin a spank. I'll get nautical. I'd rather be a naughty gal. But I'm a pretty fish mermaid and it's a shame, man. It's never be pretty enough to model for the can of chicken of the sea. Which makes no sense to me. Cause chicken can't swim. They can't even fly. I feel so alone. I couldn't feel more down unless I'm swimming down to the abiding zone. Swimming round with a perfect laugh, just above the ocean bed, with the anglerfish. And that guy's uglier than I am. He has a pole sticking out of his head. Get sure to go ahead and look it up. Why buy the longhorn cowfish when you can get the milk free? And no longer cowfish don't give milk, that'd be silly. That fact would kind of be hard to swallow, admit it, my friend. Just like the longhorn cowfish, it has poisonous skin. Yeah! But if it's my mate, I'll try emulation. Marine mammal send an ultrasound signals of means of expiration. Then maybe I can find someone. I'm always more some bubbly and fun, and you'll never drown. When I'm around, yeah! Close your eyes, stinker. Toss me a lure, you know I'll take it hook, line, and sinker. Your sweet loving is my only wish, and you won't eat tartar sauce and you eat this fish. Come on, what have you got to lose? Not your money, honey, cause I won't spend it on shoes. Cause I'm a mermaid with a butter face. Yeah, thank you.
Butterface Mermaid!
This has been the Dana Gould Hour, brought to you by The Internet. Music by Andy Paley with Jake Posner behind the board. Engineering by Brent Butler. Internet junk by Spencer Hunt and Segan Friend. Sound editing, effects, and everything else by Jalinda Palmer. Mixed by Joe Napolitano. Hey, if you like the show, why don't you drop us a line at show@danagould.com. Tom Kenny speaking.
I don't-
don't even know how snakes work.